Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into spaces of creativity and wonder. And so on this podcast, we look at this intersection of creativity and student learning. Real quick thing that I want to point out to you. If you look at this podcast, if you go to the original blog post that connects to it, there is a free download there that you might want to check out. It's for a collaborative, creative project that really fits in with this idea of this particular podcast episode. So go check out that free download. The other thing is, if you're listening to this on iTunes or on Stitcher or whatever, and you enjoy this podcast at all, would you please leave a review? That would mean the world to me. And it's also what allows people to know if this podcast is any good. And hopefully you think it is. If it's not, then you can just slam me on the reviews as well. It's totally up to you. But if you'd leave a review, that would mean a lot to me. So just want to point that out ahead of time. So we're going to be looking at this idea that collaborative projects can happen and in any subject. I think sometimes we tend to view creativity as fitting in with the arts, or we think of it as fitting in with the humanities, but maybe not so much in math or not so much in science. But creativity is much, much bigger than art. And collaboration can work in any subject as well. So as we think about this concept of creative collaboration, which is the, we're in the second in this particular series, I want to look at this idea of what collaborative creative projects look like in every subject area. But first, I want to talk about my passion for creativity so you can kind of see where I'm coming from. I believe that all people are naturally creative. Too many people have believed the lie that there are certain so-called creative types, and these people are the exception to the rule. But that's not true. We are all creative, every one of us. And we can tap into this natural creativity when we embrace a maker mindset. I want to see teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. That's what I said at the very beginning of this episode. And I want to see them unleash the creative potential in all their students so that those kids can become makers and designers and artists and builders and tinkerers and engineers and everything else that makes them creative. I get it. School gets busy. Materials can be scarce. The creative process can seem confusing, especially when you have a tight curriculum map. So what happens is, you know, creativity becomes this like side project. It's an enrichment activity you get to when you have time. But the thing is, there's never enough time. We can do better. I believe that creative thinking is as vital as math or reading or writing. There's power in problem solving and experimenting and taking things from questions to ideas to authentic products that you launch to the world. Something happens in students when they define themselves as makers and inventors and creators. And I believe that all children deserve the opportunity to be their best creative selves, both inside and outside of school. And I think it begins with creative collaborative projects, epic projects, the kinds of projects that students remember for a lifetime. So I want to talk about the power of collaborative projects before we look at what it means in all of the different subject areas. Now, if you ask people about the ultimate goal of education, you'll probably hear phrases like lifelong learning and critical thinking citizenship, being prepared for the real world. And while these goals vary, there is a common idea that we want students to become creative and engage in critical thinking. We want them to be prepared to tackle the challenges of a creative economy. We often hear about the need for students to hit the four C's in 21st century learning. These are creativity, critical thinking, collaboration, communication. Now, we are nearly a fifth of the way into the 21st century, and yet we are still in a system where students passively consume this content. I would argue that the four C's aren't 21st century skills at all. They're timeless skills. they were relevant a century ago, and they'll be relevant 200 years from now. In fact, right now I'm working on my doctorate, and I'm looking at the history of education, and I'm fascinated by the fact that student-centered learning was advocated in first century AD under Quintilian, right? I mean, you had people way back, thousands of years ago, advocating for this type of an education. You had Plutarch, who was saying that it's about igniting a flame, not filling up the vessel. In other words, this isn't new. This isn't 21st century. And that's okay. Now, the following, I would add a few things that are even more relevant right now. So beyond creativity and critical thinking, I personally think that curation, citizenship, contextualization, those things are also really important right now. But you get the idea. There's this concept of the four C's, or I just added three more C's, just mostly so I could say seven C's, so I could, anytime I reference it, I could sing that annoying song from the 80s, right? Travel the world in seven C's. Anyway, I love this idea, though, that when students are engaged in collaborative projects, they are thinking critically, they're engaged in creativity, they're learning how to communicate. In other words, they're hitting those four C's. And they're also curating, they're contextualizing, they're engaged in citizenship. It's happening across the board. So in a similar vein, I ask teachers to list the benefits that they see in collaborative projects. I asked people on Twitter and I posted it to Facebook. And here's what people said. I kind of distilled it down to the following. Perseverance. Students learn how to keep going even when a task is difficult. Project management, how to plan, monitor, and assess projects. And we're going to be getting into that later in this series. Communication, they learn how to communicate, resolve conflicts, show empathy toward others. The maker mindset, which I talked about in the beginning, they define themselves as problem solvers and designers, creators, builders. Systems thinking, they learn how to navigate external systems. Ownership, they increase in their sense of agency and they develop their own voice. Critical thinking, adaptability, inquiry, these are all what happens when students engage in collaborative projects. There's a teacher, Mary Barobia Walls, and her response to me, I loved it. She said that when students are engaged in collaborative creative projects, they surprise themselves and each other at what they are capable of doing. I think she nailed it right there. That's exactly what we're going for. Now, people are quick to call some of these things soft skills, but I'd argue that these are the very skills students need in order to thrive in life. Notice how it ties back to the goal that people want for the four C's, right? It's creativity and collaboration and communication. Notice, too, that it goes back to the goals of what we say we want for students to be. Critical thinking citizens, empathetic people, democratic citizens, creative, all those things, lifelong learners that we say we want students to become. So if that's the case, if we know that these collaborative projects help our students become the kind of people we want them to become, why doesn't it happen more often? And what does this actually look like in each subject area? So we're going to take a deeper dive into what this looks like in the different subject areas. I'm going to start with the language arts. Kids might film documentaries, record podcasts, do collaborative blogging, or immersive world building, things like Minecraft and storytelling. You can align the Common Core ELA standards to design projects and have, a free design project at the end that you can download if you're interested. Every time students are doing research or going through ideation, if they're launching to the world, they are hitting specific ELA standards. Here's an example of a maker challenge. There's a video, you can check it out on this blog, or you can go to spencervideos.com and I have a whole playlist of maker challenges that fit into this idea. And a lot of them, again, they go back to something that could work in language arts. In social studies, Students in a history class can create documentaries. They can do whiteboard videos, which is a really cool collaborative way to express ideas. I've seen them similar to kind of the RSA Animate style or the Common Craft style. They can do thematic blogs, thematic podcasts, history-themed theater productions, and here they're using a makerspace to design costumes and do multimedia elements. If you teach economics and social studies, they can work on Shark Tank-style projects. The point is, there are a lot of different options in social studies. It doesn't have to be lecture or discussion or debate. You can have kids designing things collaboratively. Math, this is often the one where I hear the most resistance. And yet, I would argue that this is incredibly valuable in math. So in math, students can work collaboratively to create a board game or an arcade game. And this ties back to the probability standards. They can also do the tiny house project by using proportional reasoning, volume, and surface area. One of my favorite ways to get them to make sense out of the XY axis when they're struggling with it is by doing scratch video game projects. That also allows them to learn logic, which is, again, critical for mathematical thinking and problem solving. Now, how about science? Well, when I taught eighth grade science, my students created their own Mythbuster-inspired projects where they had to test out some type of myth that they had heard about. They worked collaboratively through the entire scientific method as they designed the experiment from scratch. Students also engaged in tons of STEM-related projects, things like solar energy designs, engineering projects, building lunar colonies, all kinds of things like that. Now, if you check out the set of maker challenges, like I told you, you'll notice that many of those fit within the concept of STEAM or STEM. And one of the ones that I'll give it as an example is I have students design a landing solution for a drone delivery system. Now, in electives, I think electives have a lot of opportunities for doing collaborative projects. In fact, I would argue in many schools, the elective classes are really at the forefront of doing creative collaboration. So elective classes provide tons of opportunities for collaborative projects. In PE, students can design a sport or invent a way to get people to naturally want to exercise. It's kind of a cool social-related design project. In art class, students can move from doing projects alone into doing collaborative works of art. I used to work with this former art teacher, and she was amazing. She would have kids do steampunk sculptures and models of cities and all kinds of things like that. And when they did their three-dimensional art, they were almost always truly collaborative. They were working interdependently, and it was powerful. I also knew a music teacher who would have students design their own music videos. And in a culinary class, students could work collaboratively to design their own recipes, given specific ingredients. You could almost do a chop-style project. Now, this is by no means an exhaustive list because collaboration happens everywhere in our world. It would be impossible to share every single idea. You can't tie it down to a specific subject. It happens, again, everywhere. In every profession, in every discipline, you're going to find people engaging in creative work as a team. And that brings me to my last point. I think design thinking is one of the best ways to handle collaborative projects. We know collaborative projects are important, but here's the challenge. We have standards, we have curriculum maps, we don't have a lot of time. We also have standardized tests, and this can feel like yet another thing you have to add to your plate. But this is why I love design thinking. It's not a new thing to add to your plate. Instead, it's a different way to organize your plate where you still hit the standards and follow the curriculum map while designing meaningful creative projects for students. AJ Giuliani and I developed the Launch Cycle. It's a framework for creative and collaborative projects. Here, students learn how to collaborate and communicate in small groups, but also with the world. And they engage in critical thinking, they make things, they research, they ideate, they prototype, and ultimately they revise their work. And the Launch Cycle stands for Look, Listen, and Learn. That's the first part. And that's kind of the awareness phase. Then they move to an inquiry phase. That's A, ask tons of questions. Then they move into a research phase. That's understanding the process or problem. So LAU. N is navigating ideas. That's where they're going to ideate, brainstorm, come up with their concept. C is where they create. They create a prototype. And that's exactly what it sounds like. And then they revise. And that's where we have them do H, which is highlight what's working and fix what's failing. And then at that point, it's ready to launch to an authentic audience. If you're curious about what authentic collaborative projects look like, again, check out this tiny house project. You can see it on this particular blog post that connects to this. The blog post is at spencerauthor.com/collaborative projects, which is one word, collaborative projects, one word. And so, again, you can download it, you can check it out. And I want to encourage you, though, to stick with this series if you are at all interested in creative collaboration. We're going to be looking at what the launch framework looks like more in depth. We're going to be looking at things like classroom management. We're going to, in collaborative projects, we'll answer the question of how you keep introverts engaged and how you allow them to be who they are. We're going to be looking at all kinds of different questions, your burning questions that you have about creative collaboration. So thank you so much for listening. I encourage you to stick around for the rest of this series. Hey, thank you for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. If you enjoy this show, please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Make sure to share it with someone. And then I just want to thank you for the creative work you're doing in your schools. And I want to encourage you to go out there and make something awesome. Have a great day.